Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
The Bible tells us in the book of Mark, chapter number 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Mark chapter 16, we find not only does the book of Mark begin with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it ends with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you and I look at Mark chapter number 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you will look at that terminology, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When I look at that, I see several things just in that one statement. Number one, I see the name Jesus and I see the humanity of that name. In the book of Matthew chapter number 1, the Bible says, thou shalt bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, which means he will save his people from their sins. When I see the word Christ, I see the fact that He is the Anointed One. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53, the Bible said, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and a root out of dry ground. The Bible says that there was nothing about him that would be of beauty that would cause us to desire him. The Bible says that he was rejected by men. He was a man of sorrow. He was led, the Bible says in Isaiah, as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And then, when we see also in that terminology, Jesus Christ, then the Son of God, we see the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Matthew 17, the Bible says, God's voice came out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. And the same words, with the exception of hear ye him, in the book of Matthew chapter number 3 at the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in Mark chapter number 1, the Bible says in the beginning, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the book of Mark chapter number 1, the Bible tells us also in verses number 14 and 15, that John was in prison, that Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Then when you go to the book of Mark again, chapter number 8, verses 34 and verse number 35, the Bible says that Jesus called all of the people together along with his disciples. And he said, whosoever will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's shall find it. We see our Lord again in Mark 8, verses 34 and 35, talking about the gospel of the kingdom of God. In the book of Mark again, chapter number 10, verses 42 through 45, the Bible says, and it refers to the gospel, does not use the word, but the Bible says in Mark chapter 10, that Jesus Christ came to be ministered unto, or came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Verse number 45. Again, what do we see? We see the message of the gospel. Then, in Mark chapter number 14, I guess this is one of my favorite passages of the Bible. It is the story of Mary breaking the alabaster box of ointment on our Lord. And our Lord commends her for that action. If you remember Judas on that occasion, he said, you know, that ought to have been sold and given to the poor. But Jesus said, leave her alone. She hath done what she could. She has anointed my body for the burying. Now when you look at this, and then he made this statement. He said, wherever the gospel is preached, this shall be brought forth. When you and I then look at Mark chapter number 16, as our Lord, as we come down to the last part of that that chapter in Mark 16, Jesus said to the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now I know tonight that I could spend a lot of time just dwelling on the word gospel. Paul, Romans 1 verse 16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Also, you and I can look at 1 Corinthians 15, in which Paul said, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. And so you and I, all of us, are familiar with the word gospel, knowing that it means good news. And when you and I go back to the Old Testament, and we see how that Old Testament did not remit their sins, but simply roll them forward for another year. And then Jesus comes preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, when we look at the Great Commission in Mark 16, and Jesus said, You go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. There are four things that I want you and I to understand about the Great Commission as found in Mark. In a previous lesson, and I'll not review this again, but in Matthew and in Luke and in John, we brought out the different aspects of these writers and how they wrote regarding the gospel. But I want to focus now on Mark 16, 15, and 16. Number one is this. The gospel is universal. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says you go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, Matthew's account, he said, go into all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You and I need to understand the universality of the gospel. When you and I look at certain situations we see in life, we see that not everything applies to us in that situation. You look at some religions, for an example, and they not always apply because they're a false religion. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is universal. There's not a man, woman, boy, or girl anywhere in the world that cannot understand the demands of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it is universal. When you and I remember Paul and the vision come into Macedonia to help us, when we see his missionary journeys as given to us in the book of Acts, when we see then the statement made in Colossians 1:23, that the gospel has been preached to every creature, then you and I must understand that every man has a right to hear the gospel. There's a statement that folks often make. And that is this. They'll say, Brother Acuff, but what about those individuals in other nations who have never heard the gospel of Christ? What about those men and women who have never had the opportunity? Now, listen, there are folks who have never heard the gospel. It was interesting, and this isn't new to you. I pointed this out that one of the Bible correspondence course students that we have had only twice, I believe he said, seen the word Church of Christ. And so it's interesting that an individual would have an opportunity to take a Bible correspondence course that would help him learn about the Church of Jesus Christ. That's clear across the country. But now, here is an individual in some foreign country, and he dies outside of Christ. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 33, the Bible said, I have made thee a watchman. You see, ladies and gentlemen, one of the reasons why this congregation has been so adamant in the support of preachers of the gospel at Memphis School of Preaching and in mission work in order that we may carry out the command that God has given to us. The gospel is universal. And so therefore, it is my responsibility. Ezekiel 33, I have made thee a watchman. And God says, if you do not warn them, they will die, and I will require their blood at your hand. I want to tell you, brothers, I'm proud of you. I know a congregation have held meetings for them. I don't know if they'll want me to come back. I've said some things pretty strong to that congregation. And I'm going to tell you, Paul said, I have not shunned declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Paul said, I've kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but I've taught you publicly and from house to house. And I do not believe that I would be doing the will of God as a servant of God if there is a sin in a congregation and I go and preach there and I know it and nobody said anything about it, for me to keep my mouth shut just so they'll like me. I'm not in the business of being liked. I'm in the business of saving souls. And I know this congregation, they at one time had thousands of dollars in the bank account. I'm not talking about $5,000 or $10,000. I'm talking about $200,000 or $300,000 in a bank account. And missionaries would come to that area. And they would go out and they'd try to find congregations that would let, and they wouldn't support any of them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible, God said, I have made thee a watchman. And you and I have that respect. The gospel is universal. Someone made this statement. No man has the right to hear the gospel twice until everyone has heard it once. We have a responsibility, and let us never forget that that responsibility is to take the message of salvation. Brother Robert Martin in the Pacific Islands, Brother Brad Rutherford down in, or Brett Rutherford down in Tasmania, or Brother Graham McDonald in Scotland, or those folks in Zimbabwe, or the folks in Darien, Georgia, that they have an opportunity to hear the gospel, because the gospel is universal. Wherever men may go, the gospel is for all. Number two, not only is the gospel universal, but the gospel is individual. The Bible says in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I like that. That doesn't leave out anybody, does it? Preach it to every creature. I told you about Brother B.J. Clark saying some folks think they're going to be saved on the group plan. You know, there are folks who have the idea that, well, if I can just get close to some Christians. No, sir, the gospel is individual. That every man, woman, boy, and girl has a responsibility. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody, yeah, to every creature. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl who has reached the age of accountability is subject tonight to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest in your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he said, every man must give an account. We all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. In Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, the Bible said, when the Son of Man shall come in all of His glory, all of His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit on the throne of His glory, and there shall be gathered together all nations. Not one, not two. When you and I study the book of Revelation, as Brother Gary McDade is teaching us via DVDs, when he brings out these seven churches, those seven individual congregations and the individuals in those congregations. In Revelation chapter 3, he said, I would thou were hot or cold, but because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Every man must give an account of himself unto God. Every man will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. John said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. Another book was open. It's the book of life. He said, the sea gave up the dead that was in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to his work. I will give an account. Somebody said, well, Brother Acuff, it's going to take a long time. Where are you going? The judgment will begin. My name will be called before the judgment seat of Christ, and the books will be opened. But you imagine, I imagine all the things I've done. You think about the fact that if those things are not forgiven, it's got putting it on a DVD, and it's going to be up here on the screen. You remember how some of these politicians, when the mic, they do not realize the mic is still on, and they make some comment that they wish they had not have made, and all the world hears that comment. Now, my friend, listen to this. My life is going to be categorized on the day of judgment. It's going to be cataloged for what I've done. If I have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, every idle word that man shall speak, he'll give an account thereof on the day of judgment. You see the benefits of being a Christian? The Bible says, your sins and iniquities will I remember against you no more. When I think about the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that all of those things, that would be a tremendous embarrassment to any of us if those things were revealed. They will not be revealed because they'll be remembered no more, because the blood of Jesus Christ washes away our sin individually. Number three, it's conditional. The gospel not only is universal, not only is it individual, but it is conditional. Listen to what Jesus said. In Mark 16, verse 16, he told them, verse 15, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. I don't want to be unkind, but I'm going to say this very powerfully, I hope, tonight. And that is, every man, woman, boy, or girl who's reached the age of accountability, who does not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, has nothing to look forward to but an eternal hell. That's all. Damnation. The Bible says the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Lazarus said, let him dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. I heard a denominational preacher, and he's talking to a big group of individuals, large group of people, large church. And he has preached his sermon, and at the end of his sermon, he says, all you need to do is just stand there and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, and He will come into your heart and save you. And that, listen, my friend, there is not a single example, there's not a single illustration, there's not a single Adam in the Bible that would say to an individual, simply stand and let the Lord Jesus come into your heart and He'll save you. They pray the sinner's prayer. No. If you want to go to heaven and I want to go to heaven, I must hear the Word of God. I must believe it. I must repent of my sins, confess Christ before men, and be baptized for the remission of my sins. Somebody said, you mean tell me if I'm not baptized I can't be saved? That is exactly right. But I'm not telling you that. That's not my words. Folks, that's the words of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration. God has declared and God has said, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. So Mark 16, the gospel of Christ, it's universal. The gospel of Jesus Christ is individual. The gospel of Jesus Christ is conditional. You cannot be saved without it. And number four, the gospel of Jesus Christ is confirmed. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Mark as we conclude this lesson tonight, and as we conclude this study of the book of Mark. And listen to what Jesus said to these men in Mark chapter number 16. And I preached a sermon a few months ago, you don't remember it, I'm sure, but on miracles, and I went back to this. But I want you to look at verse number 17. The Bible says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Let's go to an illustration out of the Bible. In the book of Acts, chapter number 8, Philip is preaching in Samaria. They have been baptized, but Philip did not have the ability to lay hands on them. And so what did they do? They had to sin, and Peter came. Now, let me kind of just bring it down to today. I go somewhere, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to say to those folks, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I'm going to talk about the church. I'm going to talk about Christian living. And somebody says, now, how do I know all this is true? I can just say, okay, here's your Bible. Book, chapter, verse. That's all you got to do. Now, Philip is down here, and these men are preaching. They say, how do we know it's true? That he couldn't hand them a New Testament. They didn't have one. But what did they do? They said, no, we're going to prove it to you, because we're going to make the lame to walk. We're going to do this, and we're going to do that. We're going to heal the blind. We're going to take the sick. We're going to raise the dead. What does that do? That confirms the Word. That confirms what we say. And so Jesus said, these signs shall follow them. Now, that them is the apostles. You go back up to verse number 11, and the Bible said he upbraided them because of their unbelief. And then he says, here's the Great Commission. And then he says in verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, they serpent, what have you, great deadly poison. What are we saying? That those miracles were performed in order to confirm the Word. Miracles are not performed today. Listen, Benny Hinn can tell you all day long, but he's telling you something false. He can't do it. Now, my friend, listen to this. This book will confirm itself. A book written over a period of 1,600 years by 40 different men, and it's one in thought, it's one in plan. And so in Mark chapter number 16, we see the gospel has been confirmed. I can produce for you book, chapter, and verse for what you all do to be saved. I can produce for you book, chapter, and verse for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can produce for you book, chapter, and verse for how you and I ought to live. I do not perform a miracle. I don't have to perform a miracle because I've got it written right here, and it has been proven to be right. The gospel. So we end the book of Mark. In the beginning. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.